Joshua chapter 3. Title, Move Out to Your Breakthrough. Verse 1. Just read five verses. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And there shall be a space between you and it about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that you may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way before, or this way hitherfore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. You know, every life has its, better word or lack of better word, crossover times. Some people call them peak experiences. But there are times of transitions in your life, and these times are often filled with anxiety, and if you're not careful, they're also filled with potential disaster. There are the times in life that maybe you have no idea where you're at, but it's amazing that you know what you need to do. I found out there are times in my life that I just say, man, God, I just don't know where I'm at, but I know what I need to do. And in Joshua chapter 3 there, we read in verse 4, and he's talking about there shall be no space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherfore. So this was a traumatic time in Israel's existence. They were finally getting ready to get over where God had told them where they were going. See, for 40 years they wandered in the wilderness because of their own unbelief when they said, we can't take the land. And God said, fine. You'll have to wander around here for 40 years. And what happened is, and what happens to us, is we get accustomed to where we're at. They got used to living in the wilderness. Okay? And we can, it's amazing how we can adapt. But they got accustomed to living where they were at, even though it was a difficult land, but it was not the promised land. But they got used to living in the wilderness. It's amazing that they got used to that. Instead of saying, no, I want to go over, they got used to where they were at. So what happened is a whole generation had to die out because of unbelief, but it's amazing how we get to a place in our life and we just get used to where we're at. And there's too many of us that are accepting where we're at in life. And the problem is what sets in, we tell ourselves, this is as good as it gets. And we just get stuck there and we just stay there and we get used to being there. See, the wilderness where Israel was at, it wasn't a very nice land. It was a very harsh land. I read an article or a commentary. One of the astronauts who had been on the lunar surface and walked on the moon, he said the Sinai Peninsula and the lunar surface was comparable to each other. So it gives you an idea of what the Sinai Peninsula was back in that day, and also today where it's at. It's a hard place to live. But I thought about Israel. They had been given a promise of a better place and of a good land. And there's no reason for you and I today to say to ourselves, this is as good as it gets. I'm happy where I'm at. I've got accustomed to being here. And this is where, I guess, just going to accept that this is the place I'm going to have to stay. Even though we know what God has said to us and what God has promised us. And so I'm wanting to understand why we accept that when there's no reason to accept that. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians, for all the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen unto the glory of God by us. Everything that we look to, amen, when it comes to God, we got to tell ourselves, amen, it's positive. Amen, God means well by you, and when we are at the crossovers of our life, we've got to sometimes make a decision. Amen, and I thought in my life, I've had to make decisions after decisions after decisions. Amen. What am I going to do at this transition point in my life? Amen. So what am I going to do? And every time, amen, I've said to myself, I've got to follow the plan of God. I might not know exactly where I'm at, but I know exactly what I've got to do. And that's to follow the plan of God today. I know it's easy for us to get used to our, I guess it's our familiar settings. And I know change doesn't come easy to any of us. There's always the resistance factor when it comes to changing us, when God's dealing with us and God's trying to change us. There's always that little resistance, amen, that we have because we don't know what it's going to be if we move forward. We don't know what it's going to be. See, Israel was moving all the time. They didn't stay in one place too long because they were heading to a certain place. Their journey, as we know, began in Goshen near Ramses in Egypt and continued from the shore of the Red Sea, where the Israelites were commanded at the Red Sea to go forward. See, in Exodus 14:15, the Lord said unto Moses, wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel and tell them to go forward. Another translation of this word is to set out. There was a constant going forward. Amen. While they left Egypt, they were heading somewhere. I want to ask, how many of us are heading somewhere? Amen. I know I'm heading to heaven. I know that. But how many of us are heading somewhere spiritually? Amen. Are we happy where we're at? Are we content where we're at? Amen. Or are we heading somewhere? Amen. The verb here, forward, is used 89 times in the book of Numbers. But in the book of Joshua, the focus begins to change. In Joshua 3:1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and he and all the children of Israel, amen, lodged there before they passed over. In Joshua 3, amen, 3 and 14, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant, amen, of the Lord your God, and the priest of the Levite bearing it, then you shall remove from your place and go after it. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. Amen. Crossing the Jordan meant a revival, amen, of what they had, amen, been. They had been in a dead place, and now they were arriving, and now there was going to be a revival in the people. They were arriving to a place, amen, toward which the Exodus departure and the wilderness experience was all about. Amen, through all that hard land, amen, through all that living in the wilderness, this. It had been a training time. They were preparing for something. The crossing was a fulfillment of God's promise to the patriarchs at the very beginning of what He promised Abraham, that there would be a land, that there would be a land flowing with milk and honey. And the land, the language here changed. The verb which means to journey was no longer used. The Hebrew word which means to cross over or to pass over a boundary is used. Amen. In 3:1 we read, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to Jordan, and all the children of Israel, amen, lodged there before they passed over. Passed over. This word which means to cross over a boundary is used. It is used 21 times in this story. Amen. There is a focus here of crossing the Jordan River. This verb emphasized the decisive nature of this moment in the history of the Hebrew people, and it distinguished it from everything else that had been going on before. See, this word was never used to describe, amen, the passage through the waters of the Red Sea. Amen. Or wandering around in the wilderness. Other Hebrews words were used that meant to enter or to walk. But this word, crossover, has a tremendous significance. While walking through the waters of the Red Sea was both an escape and a liberation, crossing over the Jordan River, it meant entering a new kind of life. It meant entering the promised land. This was a transition, amen, and the physical boundary formed by the deep rift of the Jordan River had to be crossed. Amen. More than that, the crossing marked a decisive transition which involved inheriting a new land. I'm telling you what, in these crossover times, amen, we've got to make our mind up, amen, that I'm going to enter what God has promised me. I'm going to take what God has promised me. Amen. See, these people never owned anything, but they now own the land that God had promised them. We got to cross over. We can't stand still. In that transition period, don't you dare back up. Don't you dare stand still, but cross over to the promise that God had given you. Man, they never owned anything. They were slaves for over 400 years. Moses came and said, we're leaving. Now, when they left Egypt, they left with a lot of stuff because they just took a lot of stuff. The Egyptians gave them gold and things and got them in trouble at Mount Sinai with the golden calf. But they had not owned anything. And at Sinai, they sinned and 3,000 were slain that day. And then they move to the Jordan River and they'd send spies out to spy out the land. They were camped on the other side of the promised land. 12 leaders from the 12 tribes of Israel. These leaders came back and they said, the inhabitants of the land are like giants. We cannot do it. And God's anger came upon them, and for 40 years, as you know, they wandered around in the wilderness. They didn't own a thing. They never owned anything. But now, they were going to own a land, a place to rest. Now, I want you to understand, the land of Canaan was not an earthly paradise, which there would be no problems. But it was a place where the whole nation of Israel would know that they were a people of God. There would be battles. There would be the pain of failure. There would be the joy of success. Canaan represents a great improvement over the past 400 years. Canaan was their breakthrough. Listen, no more taskmasters, no more whips, no more lashes on their backs, no more building bricks, no more being slaves. But they were a free people now. They owned a land now. They were a people who knew their God. Even though in the promised land there was still going to be battles to fight. Let me tell you something. Just because you break through doesn't mean the devil's going to roll over and quit. Just because you break through to something God has given you, amen, the devil's going to be right there in your face, amen, buffeting you, pushing you, lying to you, amen, even though you have walked through your breakthrough, even though you crossed that boundary into a transition period, and you said, God, I'm going to follow the plan, I'm going to tell you something, the devil's going to be right there to fight you every step of the way, amen, they had battles when they got to Canaan, amen, there was Jericho. Amen. They won some, they lost some. The battle at Ai. Amen. When Joshua didn't do what he should have done. Amen. And they came over and these people, this little band of men came over and they dressed like homeless people. Amen. And then Joshua said, well, it's not that big of a city. You know, he took so many people and they lost the battle. Amen. There's going to be battles, people. Amen. But I'm going to tell you what. When you step into your breakthrough, you're going to tell yourself, I've got this far by following God, and I'm going to go all the way following God. There might be battles. There's going to be ups and downs. But I will taste victory. I will see the glory. And the reason I will is because I still, amen, I've got my eyes on the cross, and I'm following the plan of God today. I want you to notice that when they crossed over, I almost preached another message that I preached a few years back, and I might preach it again. There was two tribes, and I don't want to get into the other message, but there was two tribes that didn't go with them. These two tribes stayed on the other side. You know what they said? Where we're at is good enough. I'm going to tell you right now, where you're at's not good enough. There's more. So they cross over. The Jordan River at that time had flooded because of the season, I think, because of the spring waters. And they told them what to do. Say, you stand back. The Levites are going to hike that ark on their shoulders. And once again, they saw the miracle of God when the priest's feet hit the Jordan River. It parted once again. Now, this generation, some of this generation might not have seen the Red Sea, but they saw this. And they walked on across. Now they own the land. But that doesn't mean that just because you got through your breakthrough that everything's going to be smooth sailing. Now they had to look at Jericho. This was their first test. But I thought that Jericho, God had a strange strategy. And you know the story there in Joshua chapter 6, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then you shall shout. So the ark of the Lord come past the city, going about at once, and they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and priest took up the ark of the Lord. And seven priests bearing seven trumpets of ram horns before the ark of the Lord went on a continually and blew with the trumpets, and the armed men went before them. But the reward came after the ark of the Lord and the priests going on and blowing with the trumpets. And the second day they compassed the city. They did it 6 days. So you know the story. I'm going to tell you what. Sometimes you might have to walk around your situation 6 times. Come on. Sometimes you might have to keep walking around your situation and believing, but I want to tell you what, on the seventh time, something's going to happen, or the eighth time, something's going to happen. What I'm trying to tell you is, you got to keep going. You got to keep going. That was a strange strategy. God said, I want you to walk around the city six times. And it was a pretty good sized city, walled. They said that the walls of Jericho was wide enough to put two chariots on. And I forget how big it was, but it just wasn't a walk around the church. It was a walk around a city. They did it once. The next day they did it. Six times around. Seventh day, they rose early, drawing of the day, and compassed the city after the same manner seven times. They did it seven times on the seventh day. Only on that day compassed the city seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time, when the priest blew the trumpets, Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord hath given you the city. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpets, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the walls fell flat. Fell flat. So the people went into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They didn't fire a shot to get this. Sometimes we're firing all the shots. We need to stand still and let God do the work. Walk around your whatever it is. It might be seven times. I'm getting tired, God. I don't care if you're getting tired or not. Keep on believing. I don't care if you're getting weary or not. Keep on believing. Don't grow weary in well-doing. For in due season you shall reap if you faint not. Now, I don't believe that means heaven. I believe that means now. We're all saying, well, I'll get the victory when I get to heaven. That's not what the cross is all about. The cross is about so I can get the victory today, so I can have the victory now, so I can live in abundance now, so I can live the life and the anointing now. Amen. When I get to heaven, I'm not going to need the anointing. I'm not going to need all that. That's going to be changed. A glorified body, I'm not going to need all this stuff. But I'm going to need the power of God now. So if you won't faint in due season, that means don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. So many people get out there and they get to fight and they go, well, I'm tired, and they throw the towel in. Amen. You never should ever, ever out of your mouth say, I quit. Or say, I quit believing. You continue believing. If it looks hopeless, you can believe. If it looks like it's never going to happen, you continue to believe. Amen. And then all of a sudden that transitions period is going to come. And there's that boundary, and you're going to have to step over that boundary. Amen. You might be in your breakthrough, but that doesn't mean that you're not going to have to fight battles. Amen. So when Joshua and the children of Israel, amen, got over it, amen, it wasn't Disneyland. There was a city they had to conquer. Amen, there was a city they had to take. Amen, and all of a sudden they did that. God showed that and moved on their behalf. See, we forget that ours is a spiritual warfare. All too often we try to live our lives on the human terms, and we forget that Satan is out to destroy everything that you hold dear. Amen, he's out to destroy you. And we allow him to trip us up in many areas of our lives, and our worship, amen, becomes empty, amen, and our souls becomes empty, amen, because we fail to cross over that boundary. See, the devil comes and tells you, don't you dare move, you stay right where you are, amen, don't you move. And he lays obstacles in our path, and he says, amen, don't move. And you know what happened? The sad thing is that we don't move, amen. But at the same time, amen, God's saying, come unto me, amen, come on and move, amen. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to rise up and begin to claim what God has for us and step into our breakthrough. I know the devil says it can't be done, but I'm standing before you and I'm telling you it can be done. I'm telling you, you can break through, amen, you can, amen, allow your worship, amen, become mighty, your praise to become mighty. Amen. Out of your mouth. Yes, God. I worship you. I praise you. I thought what God spoke to Jeremiah. He said, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Let's get out. Amen. Of that attitude, it can't be done. And let's step into a boundary that my God can do anything. My God's all powerful. And let's start living in the anointing and in the grace and in the power of Jesus Christ today. See, Joshua 6 is what happened on that seventh day when the trumpet sounded, the people yelled, and the walls fell. Joshua obeyed not only the strategy for the battle, which looked silly. I'm telling you, God lays down plans for you, and you're going to say, what? What? You want me to do what, God? And while they're marching around the city, I'm sure Jericho, their people are saying, what? But Joshua followed the instructions. He gave safety to Rahab, honoring the promises of two spies. Now I want to tell you one lady who stepped through a breakthrough there was Rahab. She allowed the spies to lower them down because she had a window there at the wall. And they promised that they would save her. She was a harlot. Now, I want to tell you why. You want to talk about a transformation of a lady. You begin to read her genealogy, and you know who came out of her bloodline? Jesus Christ. So I'm telling you what, don't tell me God can't change you. Don't you dare tell me God can't change you. He can change a harlot. He can change you. I've seen people that I've read stories of atheists and agnostics being changed by the power of God. Don't you tell me God can't change you. He ordered the people to keep themselves from particular objects that were to be destroyed to avoid trouble. He gathered up all the silver and the gold and the vessels of bronze and iron, which would be sacred to the Lord and which were to go into his treasury. Joshua obeyed and he led the people in obedience, and they experienced a breakthrough. Are you letting God conquer your Jericho? Is he allowed to wage the battle, or are you being the general of the operation? Is the strategy his, or is the strategy yours? Ask yourself those questions. Huh? Are you moving out? Are you ready to cross over? Are you standing still? Are you like those two men? I might preach it. It's just in my spirit. Are you staying on the other side, and are you saying, I'm tired? I'm tired. I'm happy where I'm at. I almost got it. I almost got it, but I'm just too tired, God, to fight anymore. I'm happy where I'm at. That's the problem with so many of us. I'm just happy where I'm at. I don't want any more. I'm just content to just do what I'm doing now. I don't want to move on anymore. I don't understand that analogy. I don't understand that way of thinking when God's got so much for us and God wants so much for you that you are unwilling to cross over. See, we know, and I know we know this, we've been saved long enough. The more I do, the more the devil's going to fight. The less I do, the less the devil's going to fight. And I don't want to fight no more. There's too many people that their fight's gone. And I'm thinking, man, why are you just, and the devil's got you right where you're at. Just sit right here. You just be right here. You don't want any more. You don't move anymore. And you just sit right where you're at. Hey, man, don't do anything in the house of God. Don't you worship. Don't you raise your hand. You just sit there and you just let everything. You come on Sunday and, yeah, if you want to read a little, if you want to pray once in a while, that's fine. But when you start ratcheting it up, the devil's going to ratchet up. But that's all right, because I found out in my life, the more he fights, I got to tell myself I must be doing something. I must be going on. I must be passing. passing over. As I said, the terminology moved from going forward, amen, to passing over. Amen. So they get over there. Amen. So don't just sit on the other side. Amen. Are you ready to cross over? Are you ready to cross over your Jordan? See, this story of Jericho reminds us that God is in the business of giving us the victory to his obedient people when we move beyond our own clever plan. Amen. To a straightforward trust and a straightforward obedience. This is what Hebrews 11, amen, talks about. Amen. It says, by faith, it was the walls of Jericho fell because they obeyed God. It was the Ark of the Covenant, amen, representing the presence of Almighty. Amen. It wasn't a human energy. It wasn't a human endeavor. It was God that carried the day. Amen. It's when we admit our own weakness and bow down before the Creator and turn it over to Him. Amen. That all of a sudden that spiritual empowerment, amen, comes upon us and allows us to move across our boundary. Amen. Into a life of anointing. Amen. To the destroying of strongholds. Amen. I'm telling you what. I'm in the business of chasing devils. Did you hear me? I'm in the business of pulling down strongholds. I'm in the business, amen, of standing strong. I'm in the business, amen, of God. I've come, oh glory to God. I've come in the name of the Lord. I'm not backing down. I'm not giving up. Amen. But I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to stand tall. Amen. I'm in the business of doing the work of the King. Well, glory to God. Are you ready to cross over? Or are you happy where you're at? I found out people who don't cross over, when you start begin peeling the layers off of them, they're miserable. They put on a good front. They put on that fake smile. But man, when you start peeling the layers off of them, they're absolutely miserable because they're not pressing on. They're not moving out. Jericho is our life. Are we about the business of pulling down strongholds? Are we? Are we about the business of standing firm? I like the scripture in Isaiah 40. And I like how it starts out in verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. Do we know that? Have we heard that? Verse 29 says, he giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increaseth the strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. He asked Israel to remember what they have heard and what they have known. We need, as I preached another, I've preached so many messages, I can't remember all of them, but I titled one, Go Back to the Trophy Case. Drag the devil by the shirt collar, Doug, and take him back to the trophy case and show him all your victories. Show him everything God has done for you. We, David, instead of standing up and saying what we need, we ought to stand up and say what God has done. This is what God has done for me. Out of your mouth, this is what God's done for me. If you go back, you, and go back to where you was and where you're at, you're a miracle. What God has done for you. You need to spew it out of your mouth. This is what God has done for me. And then you need to spew out of your mouth, this is what God's going to do for me. And I don't care what the devil yammers. I don't care what he says. This is what God's done for me. We need to speak that. The power of life and death is where? In the tongue. So we need to say, this is what God's done for me. He's the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the Holy One of Israel. The everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator, the ends of the earth. His power, listen, it says His power never weakens or grows weary. His understanding is perfect. With that declaration of His omnipotent and omniscient power, God offers to the exiles of Israel the final resolution of their fears about the return to Jerusalem. He giveth power to the faint. Have you ever felt like you just can't go one more day? And I say it all the time. Quit falling apart like a $2 toy. Quit it. Don't let your emotions hold you hostage. Stop it. Quit. He giveth power to the faint. And then them that have no might, He increases their strength. He will exchange His power for your weakness, His strength for your weariness. When He does that, your energy will extend the vigor of a youth. You will be like a youth again. Can you remember that? I can barely remember that. I didn't do a whole lot of junk in my 20s, so my 30s, I'm thinking, where did they go? I don't know what it's like to be young again, so the only thing I can do is I can only watch my niece and nephews. That's what it's like to be young again. He says here, He will extend your energy like the youth. If you're willing to trust God for, listen, God's timing, okay? Not your timing. See, but they that wait upon the Lord, the promises shall renew their strength. You'll mount up with wings as eagles. You'll run and not be weary, and you'll walk and not faint. By God's great exchange, your weakness will be renewed by His omnipotent strength, and your fears will be destroyed by His omniscient power, by His understanding. Because of that, we can get up in the morning, feet hit the floor, and we can say, and I'm telling you what, you better be able to say it, I can face anything the devil throws at me today. Because I have waited on God. I have waited on God. I have waited on God. Amen. Israel waited on God for 40 years in the wilderness, wandering around for 40 years. Amen. Joshua and Caleb had to walk around with them. They were the only two out of the 12 that says we can take the land. Amen. They wandered around. They wandered around. They wandered around. And the day came, amen, when they crossed over. Amen. They took that step and they crossed over. Amen. They took the city because they crossed over. Amen. They had a breakthrough. I don't know about you today, folks, but I want a breakthrough. Amen. I'm willing to pay the price. I want to pay the price. I want to cross over into that new anointing, into that fresh touch. Amen. Let God breathe on me. Let the Holy Ghost move in me. Amen. God stir me. I want a breakthrough. I want to walk through it. I don't care what's on the other side. I'm willing to fight. I'm willing to take my place. Amen. Pick my weapons up and go forward. It's time to pass over. It's time to cross over. It's time to accept and take what God has given us and quit worrying about the devil because he belongs under your feet. Be ready to face whatever it is. But church, we need to be honest and admit our area of weakness and give it to Christ and allow Him to do a work in your life. This is one of our, years ago, we used to run a youth camp, and this is one of our themes at youth camp in Proverbs. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not to your own, thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. But he says he'll direct your path. We come up on the words most frequently quoted from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs has a lot of stuff in it, but this is the most frequently quoted by believers. These phrases are to Christ disciples. Now listen, what the wedding ceremony is to newlyweds. They spell out what is and what is not to be done within the relationship. They set the boundaries. They set the terms of what it means to live with God in the outset of our commitment to Him and through every step of our pilgrimage. They are to have and to hold from this day forward. Remember that, what you promised your wife and your husband. That's the covenant with God. We need to reflect on these regularly. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Do we do that? If you're falling apart like a $2 toy, you're not doing that. I'm just going to be honest with you. If you're in the room rocking and sucking your thumb, you're not doing that. If you're in the corner cowering down, you're not doing that. If you're not doing that. Okay? And lean not to thine own understanding. Nothing less than with all your heart is what you got to do. Choices, decisions, motives, intention must all be directed to what God wants and what God can do. Trust steps into a whole new realm. It steps into a realm of God's loving power and leaves the shoreline of our own abilities, ambitions behind. It's like getting in a boat and pushing off. You've left the security of the shore behind, and now you're in the water. You've left the security of what you think's right behind, and now you're floating out into His trust. I don't know why God don't move for me. I don't know why God ain't doing this for me. I've said that. Okay? I've said that. But then I need to go back and I need to find out, am I trusting Him? Am I trying to put the pieces in the puzzle? I'm telling you what, you can't put a square peg in a round hole and we try it. So it leaves the shoreline of our own abilities, our ambitions. Such belief means that you're literally betting your life on God's truth and wisdom. Our trust in God continues with us saying, I will not lean on my own understanding, but I will be molded by God's will and by God's guidance and not my own wisdom, which is so easily to do. And if we do it, it's foolishness. If we lean on God, look what happens. You go on down and read Proverbs. It shall be health to thy navel. Oh, yeah. And marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all thine increase, that's your tithes and offerings. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. That's that breakthrough. Such trust in God leads to well-being in every part of your life. Bones and flesh are just not the structure and tissue of our bodies, but of our whole selves, body, spirit, tangible, and the intangible. Are we willing to do that? The word health here is just not a physical word. It means thriving. It means radiant. It means wellness. The frequency of this concept is a key to the fact that for Proverbs, health or healing is a code word for the total personal prosperity that is in God. Now we think of prosperity of money, 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 money. But there's a lot of ways God allows us to prosper. And we need to honor God in all the areas of our life. You just can't do it 90%. God, I 90%, man, that's pretty good. I'm doing 90%, God. I'm honoring you 90%. I do almost that, but that 10%, that God, that's part of my life. I want that 10%. I want to be able to do what I want and think like I want. And it's got to be your whole heart. 3:10 of Proverbs. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. God wants you to have a great breakthrough. I want to challenge us to be willing to just not set out each day in a regular routine, but face those new moments of a new beginning, willing to cross over. Are you wanting to find out what God has in store in you? The crossing over to Canaan was a brand new experience for the Israelites, except Caleb and Joshua. They were the only ones that experienced the escape from Egypt. They were the only ones. A whole generation died out. Joshua and Caleb had seen. Now, I believe that whole generation died out except for those two. Well, we know Joshua led Israel, so Joshua didn't die. And I don't believe Caleb died, but I believe the rest of that generation, Dave, died out. Them guys had to wait 40 years on something. I'd have been mad. I'd have been so mad. You ever been in school and one idiot in the class does something, the whole class gets punished? Never did understand that. Never did understand that. Oh, I work with a guy who was in the service and he was telling me the story. He said they had an email with one computer, and that email was a secure email, and you wasn't allowed to leave it open because it was secure. You could have got orders or whatever. One of the guys in the platoon left the email open. Another guy got smart and emailed the colonel and said, hey, blah, 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 left the email open. The whole group had to go back to the beginning of class and learn it all over again. All of them. So God's just, and I don't understand it, but I'm sure Joshua and Caleb walked around that wilderness kicking shrubs and dirt and everything else for 40 years with the rest of those unbelievers. That would have fired me up. They were the only two when they crossed over. They remember what God had done at the Red Sea. They remembered how God brought them out of Egypt because the rest of that generation died out. I could imagine the excitement of Joshua and Caleb standing at the Red Sea. I'm almost to the point where Joshua was saying, forget the ark, I'm swimming over. And as I said earlier, it was during the flood season. It was a terrifying experience. Most of them standing there thinking the Jordan's overflowing. How are we going to get across? And Joshua is saying, just watch. Just watch what God's getting ready to do. We need somebody in the assembly to stand up and say, just watch what God's getting ready to do. Amen. Huh? Amen. We need some Joshuas and some Calebs. Stand up and say, I want to tell you, hey man, just getting ready. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. God's getting ready. Amen. They stood there. And they saw the Jordan River open up. They saw the fortress of Jericho. Joshua says, I've already been here. I've already spied out the land. I've already seen all this. As leaders, sometimes we tend to be conservative as do the people. We don't have the natural openness that marked the life of Rahab. She really took a risk doing what she did and the nature of her business. And maybe that's why she took the risk, because of the nature of her business. Too many pastors, and the majority of them are comfortable people who sit in comfortable pews. We got churches across America where they're determined to hold on to the familiar because they can't move the people. A lot of pastors have just given up. I know some churches that the pastor is just to preach, and if he preaches something that they don't like, he's told. And we're determined to hold on to the familiar. But I want to tell you what. I want to get out of my comfort zone. I want to step out into a new anointing, a fresh touch. I want to step out. It might be unfamiliar. It might be at a place that I've never been before. But I've crossed over, and I want to keep on moving. It might be an area of my life that I really don't know what to do, but I do know one thing. I'm going to hang on to Him. I want to cross over. I want to see the presence. I'm claiming a new territory. I want to inherit new things. I want to inherit the power and the presence of God. I want to inherit what He has in store for His church. Jesus said in John, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." But He says, "I have come that they might have life." And what He went a step further, and that they might have it more abundantly. We need to live the larger life. Amen. Isaiah 54 says, "And enlarge the place of your tent." Come on, we need to start adding some rooms. Amen. "And let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitations. Spare not the length thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes." Amen. Come on, we need to build on. Amen. We need to strengthen the stakes. Amen. We need to batten down. We need to say, "Devil, we're moving on. We're believing something's going to happen." Amen. I don't know where it's at. I don't know how it's going to do. Amen. I don't know how it's going to be, but I do know one thing. It's going to be God. And when God does it, I'm going to hang on. I'm going to follow the plan of God. It's time we lengthen the cords. It's time we strengthen our stakes, because there's coming a breakthrough. Amen. If you're tired of sitting in your pew and just having a little bit, amen, and you want to experience a new anointing, well, strengthen your stakes. Amen. Strengthen your cords, because it's coming. An outpouring's coming. Amen. The Bible says this, "And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that always having all sufficiency and all things may abound to every good work." Amen. It's time. Amen. We believe. It's time we lift our hands. It's time we say, "Holy Ghost, amen, come and move on me. Amen. Come and anoint me. Amen. I'm strengthening my stakes, I'm lengthening my cords, and I'm expecting a move of God." Follow. Set me on fire. The Bible says in Isaiah 58:11, "And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not." John 14:4, "But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a" what? "A well of water springing up into" what? "Everlasting life." Are we ready? Are we ready to step over? Are we ready to move out? Huh? Couple more scriptures and I'm done. "But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory." Where? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." Once again, you might be at that place where the devil says, "Don't you move. Don't you move." And you, we've been in this long enough to know that we need to cross over. David said, "I've been young and I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." This is us today. Don't get right up to the Jordan River and say, "Eh." Don't get right up to that boundary and say, "Well, I don't know. That transition, crossover." Joshua claimed the peak moment. But also the people, the nation of Israel, claimed that they had been a rag ragtag, slave, beaten down people, growing in numbers, but slipping deeper and deeper into slavery. And I'm sure as they was in, many of them that was in probably thought, the deliverer's never coming. This is as good as it gets. And you know what? When Moses showed up, go read the story. It wasn't easy. It wasn't easy for Pharaoh to let go. Told him to make bricks without straw, and the number would increase, would be the same every day. People turned on Moses. Finally, the plagues came, and Pharaoh said, get out. I'm telling you, the devil don't want to let go. You got a promise? He wants you to let go of it. He's hanging on to you. Out they went. Who come chasing them? Pharaoh didn't want to let go. But see, why was Moses so determined? Doug, they weren't at the burning bush. They didn't hear the bush speak. They didn't see this bush on fire but not consumed. They didn't hear the voice of the Lord. People come up to you and say, why in the world are you so adamant about what you're doing? Well, you don't know what God told me. You wasn't there. Moses could have said, forget it. And I know that many of us are at the bank of the Jordan, and I know it looks scary, and you might not know where you're at, but I'm telling you what, there are thrilling opportunities available for you in these moments if you'll just cross over. The journey's going to have tough times, I promise you. But this makes it more possible for God to show his power. Psalm said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. The verb for ordered means to make firm and to establish. The way the righteous walks is directed and confirmed by God. Let's get about crossing over. Jude says this, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. We need to cross over. And I don't care what it looks like. The Israelites saw it. I want to see it. I want to see it. And that scripture says this, now unto him that is able to do, listen, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power which worketh in us. And I believe that power is that faith to take that step to cross over. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing at this transition time of your life? God might not be moving. You don't know what's going on, but you know what you got to do. You got to cross over that boundary into the presence and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. So let's cross over. Let's make that first step. And let's experience a move of God in our lives. Let's everybody find us a place to pray.